I'm Daniel Levine, and this is the Burrell Report. It would have seemed that the question over whether or not genes could be patented was settled long ago. But ongoing legal battles and a report earlier this month from an advisory committee to the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services threaten, in the words of one industry group, to unravel the foundation of life science innovation in this country. Opponents say gene patents impede critical research and make important new diagnostics unnecessarily expensive. But industry argues they fuel innovation and bring important breakthroughs to patients. We spoke to Ken Shaheen, visiting professor of law at the University of Utah, about the recent report, the ongoing legal battles, and what's at stake for the biotech industry as well as patients. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So help us make some sense of the recent report from the Secretary's Advisory Committee on Genetics, Health, and Society. The report recommends, among other things, that there should be certain exemptions from liability for patent infringement of patent claims on genes and gene association. What's the concern about patents on genes and gene association that the committee has?
Well, the committee was founded in 2002 to investigate complex issues, including some of those that are related to genetic tests. And what the committee has done over the last several years is to investigate through case studies and other research what the impact, if any, of patents on genetic material is having on the accessibility and dissemination of information in the research community. And the report that was released actually was very consistent with several other reports that have come out, let's say, over the last 5 or 10 years, that patents seem to have very little impact on the dissemination of basic research tools. The American Academy for the Advancement of Science had a report that said there was little evidence of patents interfering. The National Academy of Science similarly concluded that many of their scientists had encountered, you know, really virtually no problems with the fact that genetic information was patented. And so what really has people concerned is that while the results of the study were consistent, the recommendations don't seem to be sort of commensurate with their findings. And so what they have recommended, and two of the major recommendations are that there be an exemption from infringement for the development and commercialization of genetic tests. So, for example, there would be no further exclusivity for a company that had invested a lot of money to develop a genetic test. And the second one, second major recommendation is that they want to limit the exclusive licensing from universities to companies for genetic tests for similar reasons. They want to have other companies be available to launch genetic tests.
Well, industry groups were quite upset by the report. They argue the system as it stands today is working well and that the changes suggested would do more harm than good by destroying incentives needed to provide breakthroughs in diagnostics and other medical technology to patients. What's the downside of establishing the exemptions that the committee is recommending?
Well, okay, so the downside is, in what Bio and others argue, is that it takes us back to a pre-Bayh-Dole Act era. And that the Bayh-Dole Act, to remind you, is the legislation that allowed the universities to grant exclusive rights to companies, particularly small businesses, to launch ventures. And that has worked tremendously well. And The Economist magazine actually called it one of the greatest legislations in the last 50 years that had been enacted in the United States. And so we've had great success with that legislation. And so the concern is that by not granting exclusive licenses and by not allowing exclusivity to invest capital, that we really are reversing this trend that we've had that's been very successful in encouraging business and development in biotech.
Is there some concern that the makeup of the committee kind of shaped the message?
yeah, and not to suggest in any way that the members, you know, went in with an agenda, but I think if you look at the committee composition, the vast majority of them, frankly, all but a handful, are research scientists. And so, I'm not sure that there was even a patent attorney on the committee. And frankly, from an economic standpoint, it would seem that the questions that are being asked are one of economics, that is to say, is the patent system creating the proper incentives to disseminate information and encourage innovation? And so I think that the composition should be more fairly balanced given the question that the committee has been asked to address.
So let's say Secretary Sebelius wants to adopt the recommendations here. What authority does she actually have in altering the gene patent landscape, and would this ultimately require congressional legislation?
I think certainly she, with respect to the Patent Act and exemption from infringement, has no authority to actually enact that. And that would have to be an act of Congress to amend the current Patent Act to exempt infringement of the type that's being recommended. With respect to the licensing, where there could be an impact and a direct authority, is that the National Institutes of Health is very clearly one of the major sponsors of research. And so if they adopted a policy, I think that technologies coming out of NIH could be impacted from the second recommendation that they not be exclusive, and I'm always concerned what influence can the NIH now have on other universities to follow suit.
And is there any indication that Congress would be interested in picking up such legislation at this point?
There hasn't been. There are some legislation that's been proposed with respect to banning gene patents, et cetera. I don't know that they're gaining much traction. I think one of the real interesting challenges here is that on the one hand, there's this wave of anti-gene patent and diagnostic opposition here. On the other hand, personalized medicine, I think, is being recognized as potentially one of the lifelines of healthcare reform and a sustainable healthcare system down the line. And so I think that if Congress were to act aggressively against gene patents, they may be, frankly, hurting the chances of healthcare reform and healthcare solution going forward. And so I think that tension, at least I'm hoping, will keep things at bay for now.
Well, the courts have certainly been wrestling with this issue. How much clarity are we getting from the courts at this point?
We're not getting much clarity. I think the Supreme Court, rightly so, is being cautious about ruling too hastily on this issue. They recently listened to oral arguments in the Bilski case, which we discussed earlier, talking about natural products and products of nature and things of that, a thing of that sort. And they have not yet ruled on that. It's possible that the court is waiting for other cases and sort of aggregate two or three cases and get more knowledge before they rule. The other case that's pending, which I think won't be ultimately resolved for a long time, but it's getting a lot of attention, is the ACLU's case against Myriad Genetics. There were oral arguments in that case earlier this month.
This is over the BRCA gene used to detect breast cancer?
Yes, that's right. So it's basically it is about the BRCA gene in some respects, but the ACLU, frankly, is looking for a much broader sweeping ruling. So it wouldn't only affect BRCA1, but frankly, they're looking to invalidate all gene patents and all diagnostic patents which claim a correlation of a potentially diseased a person with a genetic makeup that predisposes them to disease versus not.
So how does that case stand to alter the whole landscape?
Well, that one in some ways is the most troubling because the Bilski case was more narrowly focused on process claims, and it was on commodity hedging. It wasn't even a biotech invention. This one seeks to look at invalidating not only gene patents, but also many of the diagnostic patents, which a lot of the companies rely on. And so that one, again, is probably the broadest attack right now to the industry. That case, though, is far from being decided, in my opinion. The court heard oral arguments, as I said. The court is likely to rule here in the next couple of weeks. I think it's unlikely that the court is going to rule for either side. And if that's the case, the decision will be to let the lawsuit go to trial, and it could frankly be a couple of years before even that case is decided. And of course, we still have the Federal Circuit of Court of the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, and then the Supreme Court. So it may be a while before we get full clarity.
Ken Shaheen, visiting professor of law at the University of Utah and a member of the Biolaw Project there. Ken, thanks as always.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. To order a subscription to our monthly publication, The Burl Report, go to burlreport.com/subscribe. Join us at theburlreport.com for daily coverage of the life sciences industry. Be sure to sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Burl Weekly Brief, by hitting the sign-in link at the top of the page. For information on Burl & Company conferences and publications, go to burlandco.com. That's B-U-R-R-I-L-L-A-N-D-C-O.com.